Greetings, my friend, and welcome to Beyond Curious. Conversations with brave adventurers like yourself that are taking voyages into the unknown to satisfy their curiosity, fulfill their purpose, and bring their ideas to life. My name is Brandon Fong, and I'm so excited that you are here listening to my voice right now. And whether you are a new friend or an old friend, I'm beyond excited to introduce you to today's guest, Laura DeFranco.
So I asked my audience in the blog as a call to action to step up in the comments with love and support and advice for her, for Shirley. And they did, and it was amazing. So I got to take that link and go back to the messenger and drop that in for her. And I think she connected for the first time in a long time to a feeling of not being alone. I only found out later, I didn't know then, but she confided in me later on that she actually had been planning the suicide note she'd write to her husband and five children.
Man, that's a little bit of an intense quote, but man, this episode is so powerful, and it just goes to show you how powerful your stories and your actions are. You never know when you could actually be saving someone's life. So let me tell you a little bit about Laura. I'm so excited. Laura is the CEO of Brave Healer Productions and Brave Kids Books, an award-winning publisher for holistic health and wellness professionals. She spent 30 years in holistic physical therapy, is a third-degree black belt in Taekwondo, and has authored 13 books. Her company has published over 74 Amazon best-selling books with a global community of over 1,000 authors who are waking the world up to what's possible for healing, one brave word at a time. And this was such a blast not to only revisit some of the Taekwondo stuff. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I actually got my black belt in Taekwondo in fourth or fifth grade or something like that. So we talk a little bit about a Taekwondoing that I've never talked about before, but it was so fun jamming with Laura. Not only is she just an incredible human, but we just resonate so much on the concept of leveraging content to not only save lives, but also to heal. So anyways, I could keep going on and on, but I want you to look up for three specific things in today's episode. Number one, why Laura has a feather tattoo with the initials YFIB engraved in it and what that has to do with helping you to embrace your fear. Number two, how you can make a yes or no decision when you're unsure of the answer. And of course, number three, the full story about how Laura actually helped contribute to saving someone's life and rescuing them from some depression from some of the stories and content that she was sharing. So this is a powerful conversation. I'm so excited for you to listen. So without any further ado, here is my friend, Laura DeFranco. Laura, my friend, oh my gosh, so excited to have you here. Beyond excited to dive into you and your story. This is going to be so much fun.
I can't wait. I've been waiting for so long, it feels like. I'm ready. Let's do it.
It's like we just met a few months ago, but now we get to hang out again. I've been really looking forward to this and very grateful. So it's been so much fun. I always love diving into other people's stories, and it's an excuse to go deeper with other people. And, you know, when we first talked, we talked about how we had this common background of Taekwondo, which this is something that most people have most likely never heard me talk about on the show. Not that it's really about my story, but it's about you. But we have some overlap in our journeys of Taekwondo playing a meaningful part in our lives. So I would love for you to take us back. You and your five-year-old son, John, you go and you watch a Taekwondo class. Would you mind sharing why you went and maybe what ended up happening as a result of that?
Yeah, thanks. This is one of my favorite stories to tell. So, you know, he was 5 and a half. We were looking for something for him to do, kind of just to make friends and get out there and socialize, sports, whatever it was going to be. And we ended up at the YMCA watching a Taekwondo class. We left after, and I looked down at him and I'm like, well, you know, is this good? Are we going to do it? And he looks up at me and he's like, well, I'll do it if you do it, Mom. And 6 years later, we earned our black belts together. And that was probably one of the coolest ever things I've done with my kids. Oh my gosh, there's just so much in this story, but I talk about it a lot. It was a profound experience to do that together. He was the youngest at 11 in the school to earn a black belt, and we were the only mom-son team in the school to do something like that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so special. And I know I said this before I hit record, but it's so cool hearing that story because that was literally my story in the reverse. I was the five-year-old kid with my dad. And it was, I mean, it's so special to get to do something with your parent as they're a beginner with you. I don't know. It's a really cool thing where you're in this interesting dynamic where it's like, I'm learning along with you. And I'm sure that that added a lot. I would love to unpack that a little bit more if you're open, like maybe share a little bit more about some of the biggest lessons that you learned from that experience of being a beginner with your son and maybe some of the lessons that he taught you along the way as you continue to pursue that goal.
Well, you know, when you earn your black belt, you don't know what you know. You realize what you don't know. This is like beginner's mindset, learner's mindset. That's one of the main lessons in martial arts, I think, in general. And you already said it, like to be standing next to your 5.5-year-old. And then, you know, think about that 6 years of it. Watching him grow, watching him learn. But also I am learning all the same moves, all the same techniques, the words, the language, you know, everything. And we even competed together. I remember one competition where you could, if you know the forms, of course, right? So these choreographed movements that you have to memorize, and they're all sort of in your body. It's one of my favorite parts of Taekwondo is to watch the entire class perform their forms together, like synchronized swimming, you know, like all the same time. But we got to compete, the two of us, in this particular form as black belts. And man, I don't know, I'm just smiling telling you this story because it was one of my favorite things that we did together. We got to do it together. Mm. Like, can you even think of a sport where you'd be able to do that with your kid, like right alongside them, right? Not watching them and then you do it later, but like together. So it just makes me smile. We learned so much about each other and about ourselves during those years. He stopped after the 6 years. I went ahead and kept going. I trained for 14 years total, ended up a third degree black belt ultimately. Mm. And then decided I needed to stop getting kicked in the head. So I paused my Taekwondo and went to a little bit more gentle sorts of things.
That's so special. Mm-hmm. I love that on so many reasons. One, I have a story that I might share that I it just showed up for me. It's like I have this hilarious video of doing it's on VHS, and my parents wanted to submit this on like America's Funniest Videos. There's this video of me, I think I must have been like 6 or 7 years old at the time. We were doing a purple belt form, and my parents got like the video camera on, and it's the whole class, you know, the kids my age that are doing the thing. And I stop like paying attention, and I just start kind of like picking my nose and like not paying attention to the form, and I waddle away in the wrong spot, and my instructor turns and does a chop and just pops me in the face. And it's like the most hilarious thing of like, I mean, you're probably like watching little kids is like the funniest thing to do in Taekwondo, which is so cool. But yeah, it's bringing back memories hearing you growing up with your son and doing alongside them. That's so special. It just reminds me, for any parents out there, for me right now, I got a 12-week-old daughter now, and it's like, man, what a special opportunity to connect with your kids by being a beginner and saying, hey, I don't have all the answers, let's learn this together. So that's super special. There's one more thing I want to kind of double down on the Taekwondo thing. Master Holloway, talk to us a little bit about him and maybe some of the biggest lessons that you learned from him.
Oh, thank you for asking that. Discipline the mind, the body will follow. That was his quote. Mm. And so he is a quiet, tall, slightly intimidating man, you know, especially to a tiny 5.5-year-old. But he moved around that gym with an energy and a presence that just very quietly demanded the respect. There was, you know, I don't know, and he was old school, man. He was in the Olympics. He was in Taekwondo from the beginning of Taekwondo. And I was always so appreciative of him and the way that he ran the classes. We got to take the classes at the YMCA, even though he has his own studio separately in over here in Maryland. But the Y was in our backyard, so that's where we came to take the classes from him. And then when it was time to test, we would have to travel over to his place with the students that went there. was a different sort of scenario, very old school studio, little beaten up over a fish market type of thing. Like,
perfect.
It was, yes, exactly.
It's like a Street Fighter. Like when you choose a character in a setting in Street Fighter, that's where it is, above a fish market, where it belongs.
Above the
Sorry,
fish continue. Yeah, so like you're sweating and you can smell the fish, and it's like extra challenge, I think, in the testing. But I just really respect him and how he taught us, because, you know, I compared to some of the black belt factories out there,
yep,
and how quickly they were churning out black belts. And I thought, oh, we got lucky. He made us earn it, which is in life in general, is one of the coolest things that can happen to you, even though it might be one of the hardest things, is figuring out what you're made of. So we did, you don't get a black belt, you earn it. And he just was one of those instructors that helped us do that.
Yeah, I love that. Discipline the mind, the body will follow. There's so many, it's one of those quotes where it's like there's layers to it where you might like hear it and then you hear it like 4 years later and you're like, wait a second, that means something different now. But definitely
yes.
Cool to live out and have as a, like you learn those things and it means so much when you have a practice along with it. So that's super special. I know Taekwondo, there's kind of like a bridge between the Taekwondo world and the world that you're in now of creating and publishing books and helping support other people with their books. And so would you mind maybe sharing a little bit about how that Taekwondo journey ended up kind of supporting that trajectory of you eventually becoming an author?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm a retired holistic physical therapist. So my first 30-year career was as a healer. I basically signed up to devote my life to this healing journey very, very early on, right? Even before the Taekwondo, I was learning about this mind, body, soul thing, trying to understand it. Taekwondo journey on top of that was like the double whammy. And if you had asked my friends or family, they would have all told you I had talked about writing a book. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But I never had the idea and I could never quite figure out what it was going to be. I loved educating my clients about healing and health and wellness and peak performance because of the athlete in me. But I could never figure it out until that 6-year journey was finished. And when we earned our black belts, I opened up my journals that week, I think, and I realized I had been journaling the entire journey for 6 years. It was all in the books. And so I looked at it one day and I'm like, oh, this book is pretty much already written. So 100%. I went to those journals and pulled out some of the stories. And so at Master Holloway's school, which is Gentle East Taekwondo, by the way, part of testing is that you had to turn in an essay. So part of testing was writing. Like when I figured that out the first time, I'm like, what? This is my favorite thing ever, right? I get to turn in an essay. So I had been journaling and I had been writing essays all the way through the 6 years. And so I had kept everything, which I, you know, thank you for doing that. Like, I'm so glad that I did that. So Living, Healing, and Taekwondo was my first book, self-published in 2012, about the journey of being a mom and a martial artist and a healer and just a lover of life and a curious being and wanting to know things about, you know, healing. It was cool.
That's amazing. And I know today you've like, I don't even know how many books. I know it's like you read your bio, but like it changes because you publish a book every 30 seconds. Not that much, but you got 70 best-selling books, unless that's like, you've helped publish over 70% best-selling books, unless that's changed since you submitted the bio. But I know it's become an incredible part of your journey. And it's cool that is evolved from that spot of you literally just chasing your curiosity and journaling about the process. I think if anybody's going to already take something away, like if you don't have a journaling process, like, man, like it is just such I'm just so grateful to say, like, I could go back 5 years ago from today and see what I was doing. And it's always so cool to see what you were thinking about, like how you were moving through life. And I think that whether you do like a written journal practice, or actually I had someone on the show recently, he encouraged me to do, I'm doing this now, it's a video time capsule. So like at the end of every week, I just recorded like a week of gratitude and a summary of what's going on. And then at the end of the year, I'm going to smush that into my own podcast episode for myself. I don't know if anything will come from that, but I think it's just such a beautiful process. And you never know that those stories that you're capturing, if that comes into play later, like it did for you, for being able to help and support people and share a story that was meaningful for others. So I love that so much.
Well, think about what that will be for your, did you say it was a daughter that you have or a
son? Yes. Yeah.
A baby daughter.
Yep.
Yes. And you know, when they were, I have a son and a daughter. My daughter is a couple years younger than my son. They're both adults now in their 20s. But early on, I decided that I was going to write them a letter every year for their birthday. And on their 18th birthday, I would be putting that book of letters together for them. And I got to hand each of them that book, a three-ring binder with all of the letters, but also some of the other special things that had been going on in their lives over those 18 years. And it's another thing, man, I'm so glad I did that. Like, I'm so glad I sat down and took the time to write to them about the year. So much happens in a year. And, you know, they accepted those books at 18 years old. So one day they're going to open those and it's going to be a moment, right? It might be when I'm gone. It may, who knows, like what it'll be. It might be when they have their own child. But that's just along the writing journey. That was one of the best things I ever did.
100%. I love that so much. So I'm a part of a group. My friend Blake Fly has got a group called Dad's Making History. And the idea is exactly that. Like if you have a parent that passed away, you know, the most valuable possession that sometimes you own of that parent is a recording of their voice or a video. And so why not take the time periodically, whether it's once a year or throughout the year, to just record a video and say, hey, this is what's going on. And I think that's super special. And, you know, if your kids end up being super introspective, curious people about themselves, I can't think of a better gift that you can hand them, right? It's that you can't read the label from inside the jar. And here you have your mom that was taking note of all these special things that were going on in your life and the nuances and your thinking and development that is such a gift. So thank you for doing that. And it just kind of inspires me even more to want to continue doing that. Let's continue going down like the writing and journaling kind of thing. Cause I know a big part of your work is you talk about how, as you help people publish these books, publishing a book is so much more than having a book done, right? It is a journey. You're learning about yourself. You're overcoming upper limit problems, if we're using Gay Hendricks language, right? Like there's so much stuff that goes beyond just having a book out there that requires a whole internal transformation to become a different person. Even if you can talk about this writing, you can talk about a podcasting, like you have to learn how to transform, and it's a healing journey. So I'd love for you to maybe share, as you have gone throughout this process and as if you coached other people going throughout this process, maybe talk about like the healing component of what happens as you begin to share your stories and your voice with the world.
Well, I mean, how awesome is it that you can talk about it like that, that you have that awareness? And that's really what this is about. Awareness is everything. So when you make a choice to write a journal entry, that's low pressure, first step of awareness practice. You move it out of your head and onto the page, and you create an awareness practice there. You get to look at, be a witness of your own thoughts that are now in black and white on the page. That's a healing moment right there. Just journaling, right? But then we could take it into, I mapped this out into stages. You know, what if you read that out loud to yourself first? Mm-hmm. You put the vibration of your voice to your own words and now you're hearing it. And I swear so many times people have said to me, whoa, that I broke down into tears just doing that, just hearing my own voice, and no one else was in the room but them, right? So then you take it to the next stage and you might share either the written or the storytelling version, speaking with another person. That takes the healing opportunity to a whole nother level, because now you're not just the only witness. Now a trusted soul is there holding a container or a space for that share. Yeah. Whether they read it or they hear it, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. There's levels of this. But then we can go to deciding to write for the world or speak for the world. And then we can talk about publishing or speaking at a microphone. Mm. And you take the healing. I love that you love Gay Hendricks and The Big Leap, because that was one of my early books that I read. And you catapult yourself, right? It's not comfortable. It's scary sometimes, but that whole thing is a healing process. Publishing a book is a healing process. And I love it when I get to talk about that with other people who get it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's funny too. This is a kind of a side realization that I had in like knowing that this was kind of a key component of your work, because I want to plant some seeds, because I want to talk about too, about getting clear about who you want to serve with your writing. When I kind of hear some of your nuances with that, or, you know, whether it's writing or publishing, as you said, in front of a mic. But one thing that really stood out to me as I was preparing for this interview is I realized that the people that I love serving the most for what I'm creating, they are some form of a content creator. But part of the, I was trying to figure out for a long time, like, why is content creation such a critical component to like the people that I really resonate with? And it really hit me as I was listening to your stuff. It's like, oh, wait, as a function of creating content, you have to look at your shit, you know? So it's like the people that are publishing content, it's like, if you're going through that iteration, you know, kind of tying back to the Taekwondo analogy, if you're publishing every single week and you're practicing your kicks and your punches and you're doing it over and over and over again, you have to get good at transforming stories in a way that serves you effectively, right? And like going back and rewriting those narratives, and then also creating a medium for other people to be touched by those narratives as well, is just a super transformative process to be able to do that over and over again. And that's why I just realized, like, that's why I resonate with content creators, because it's like you have to do the work as a function of being a content creator. So that's super special. I love that.
You got to look at it. That is an awareness process if you're awake to it.
Yep.
And then with awareness, you get a choice. Wow, that's a big responsibility that you get to have. I love the fact that I get to take 100% responsibility for my entire life, first of all, but each step, each word, each sentence, all the content, like, then you get to ask yourself these big ass questions, like, what am I creating in the world? Who yeah. am I? Why am yep. I here? Why does it matter? Every single word is that. I mean, like, this is big potato stuff to me.
Yeah, so for sure, big potato stuff. But so I want to maybe go back a few steps, because I think you and I are talking right now as people that have published, we've written, I don't know what episode this will be, 170 plus, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like you're sharing this kind of stuff. You've written so many books, but, you know, it wasn't always this way. And I heard you share another story on another podcast that I think might be an interesting story from like earlier on when you guys started doing this. So you might have to fill in some gaps if I don't get this 100% right, but you published something that required you sharing some personal stories about trauma and that kind of stuff. And you sent it to everyone right before Christmas. So I would love for you to maybe share about like what that was and why you decided to do that and what transpired from you just being raw and telling people that are close with you about how you feel about certain things that may or may not have transpired.
You heard that story, huh? So 2015, I had a second book moving through me and I had already started writing it. So I was excited. This is going to be book number two. It was after the Taekwondo book. And it was going to be a little bit more of a signature book for me and my business. So that was what was making me excited about it, right? So somebody drops an email to me about NaNoWriMo. Do you guys know the National Novel Writing Month of November? It's a free program online. And they said, Laura, NaNoWriMo. Yeah. And they're like, I think you're going to really love this. That's what the email said. And so I clicked and read about it. And the goal of that program back in 2015 was to write a 30,000 word novel in 30 days of November. That was like, so National Novel Writing Month is November, okay? And I was stoked. I'm like, yes, this is going to be the motivation I need. And so, and it was only like a few days into November at that point. So I signed up immediately, got going. And by the end of that November of 2015, I had 65,000 words written detailing every wound of my childhood. Mm. And a month later, I attached that book to an email and sent it to my family, who all still speaks to me, by the way, in case y'all were wondering about that. But here's kind of the summary point of it was, that's not the book that I published or that you will read. It was the feng shui I needed to do of my soul so that I could clear a space for the actual book to move through me, the one I wanted to publish and share with the world. So sometimes there are a lot of words that you need to move out of you to clear the space, to do the healing, to be the witness, all the things we were talking about earlier. And I mean, some people cringe and go, oh my gosh, you didn't, 65,000 words and you didn't publish that book. I picked the stories I wanted to after that. I had some awareness. I had a choice. The book became something that I was very proud of that didn't trash anybody. So, yeah, and that's what authors ask. That's the thing they're worried about. I don't want to offend, upset, or, you know, offend anyone. And so I don't know if I should write about this story because blah, blah, blah. Well, there's always a way to write your stories that you can feel brave and proud.
I'm tempted to just ask a one-word question that is how do you recommend people do that? Because then I'll add more context behind that how, because like I know, like for me personally, when I started sharing my story, like there were certain things that I felt like I needed to ask permission, like for my parents to share and that kind of stuff. But I did, I actually had conversations. I'm like, hey, like, this is kind of like what made me. I kind of want to share this part of this. Like, I don't know if I'm really giving you a choice or not. I just want to let you know that I want to share this kind of a thing. So it is kind of, I'm glad that you brought this up, because anybody that's considering sharing their story, if you're a human being, unless you're some alien listening to this, which I mean, I don't know, maybe that's a thing, but like, you're gonna come across these kinds of things where you're like, this is what made me, but I don't know, like, is this gonna offend someone? Is this gonna make someone look bad? So like, if somebody does come to you with that, which I'm assuming is all the time, how do you help them move through that and actually start to share that kind of stuff or work around it?
Well, the first thing is the piece that was that story. Get it all out no matter what. Do the feng shui. Get that stuff out of you. Do the journaling. Go ahead and put every single gory detail down so that you're shifting energy, because that's the real important piece of that. It shifts the energy. That's healing. It may not be anything that anyone ever reads, but the funny answer to your question is, you know, how? Well, sometimes that's what fiction is for. So who says it has to be a nonfiction actual memoir, which sure. mine was a teaching memoir. It was actual real story with kind of practical teachings in it, right? Because I'm a healer and a teacher and a leader that way. But you know, sometimes people write with pen names and they write fiction for a reason, because they need to do the healing, they need to write the stories, but there's no way that they're gonna make that a true story book, a nonfiction book. So that's the short answer. But the other answer is, you write from your truth, your filter, your truth, your place in that scene. And you do that and honor yourself and your own healing process first. You get to be the priority in that truth telling. You had a perspective and you can set the scene from that place and do it well without having to name names or other pieces of the scene that you don't want to name. And that is powerful and impactful for other people. Your own healing in the writing process, when done like that, vulnerably and authentically, is also the healing tool for the reader. This is big ripple stuff.
Yeah, 100%. There's so much that you just said that I want to pull out that I think is super valuable. The first is like, what you talked about, just writing it out, right? Because it's like, I find this too, if I'm like stuck thinking about something, or if I'm kind of just going through like danger loops of the same thoughts over and over again, like, it is so helpful just to put it on a piece of paper, because then it's outside of you, right? It's not like sitting inside of you. So I love how it's like you said, it's like cleansing for the soul. So like, what a powerful way to do that. But you know, it's funny that we're talking about this, because for a while I thought about, and I don't think I'd ever, I don't know, maybe I will do something like this, but it's like, I thought about this, about how to uncover your purpose using a podcast. Cause to me, that's what the podcast did for me. It was this whole journey of like, why did that conversation resonate with me? Or like, why am I pursuing these kinds of conversations? What is it about this person that really lit things up for me? And it was kind of like all that stuff. So I think, you know, regardless of what medium you're using, if you choose to publish content, you can use it as a healing journey. For me, it happened to be audio more so than writing, but I'm sure it's just so powerful to commit to a practice like this as an opportunity to really heal. I love that. Cause I'll say one final thing and then I have another question, but like, one of my core values is conscious storytelling, which is like, I believe that stories are the medium of our reality. You always get to choose the story that you tell yourself, right? Both internally and externally. And if you're publishing content, it's almost like a forcing function for you to practice that on a daily basis of making sure that you are telling the truth, which the truth can change over time in the way that serves you the best and heals you the most. So I love so much of what you just shared there. I think that's super powerful for anyone. And you know, maybe you don't share this with the world. Maybe it is like you stay with journaling. Obviously, would encourage you to publish because people do need to hear your stories, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But this whole process is just magical when you commit to it. So grateful for you sharing that stuff.
Of course, it's powerful, and I love what you're talking about. I pay a lot of attention to what I'm putting out there because I know that every moment of it, I'm co-creating my own life.
Yep,
I am creating my life in the moment. So what words do you want to share? What stories do you want to tell? How do you want to bring somebody else on the journey of knowing you, trusting you, over to this other side where a lot of us are creating content to help people? You know, how do we want to do that? I think, first of all, just by being real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Well, I want to talk to the little voice that may or may not be occurring in your head as the listener right now. And that is, maybe you are publishing content and maybe there's something you want to talk about that you haven't talked about yet, or maybe you haven't started publishing, or maybe you haven't started journaling and you're kind of dealing with the fear of kind of doing this kind of stuff. So I would love to kind of talk about like overcoming the fear side of it, as much as we've been talking about that in some way, shape or form, but I think the fear is a different type of conversation. So you have a tattoo that I would love for you to share about that I think has to do with fear. I would love for you to talk about that.
Yeah, my tattoo. I can, I don't know. Are we audio only today? You can actually see my tattoo.
Why don't you describe it for our friends that are listening to us right now?
It's a feather on my forearm, and it happens to be on the place in Taekwondo. When you do an outer forearm block, it's the place that receives that kick, right, on my forearm. So it has a little physical meaning for me, but inside of it are the initials YFIB, Your Fear is Boring. And that was the title of a blog from Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote this blog some time ago when I was in the middle of building a second business. I was in the middle of a divorce. I was in the middle of kind of blowing up my life a little bit. And I was afraid of things. I was afraid of not being good enough. I was afraid of failing. I was afraid of these boring things. And when I read that title, I'm like, oh, yeah, like you're, and I was talking to myself, Laura, your fear's boring, right? So now I'm talking to everyone. It's not about you anymore. It's about the life you might change or save if you just get over that fear and take some aligned action with it. And share, right? Share vulnerably sometimes. Ooh, that feeling inside your body, right? So the healer in me says, you got to have some body awareness with this. That's the practice. You can feel the squeeze around your heart. You can feel the clench in your back. You can feel the breath hold. And fear is a feeling, but purpose-driven fear, the problem there is that it feels very similar to the survival kind. And we think we're going to die, but really, you know, it's got the same visceral body feeling. If we can discern, if you can use that awareness practice and realize that there's a tinge of excitement because it's your purpose for being alive, right? And so mine was to start sharing stories and to help other people share in powerful ways. So I love my tattoo. I have no regrets because I get that daily reminder, right? Because, you know, if you read The Big Leap, it just keeps coming in layers. You're just going to get the next thing that is going to make you a little bit afraid and you got to go there again. And I'm like, okay, I got my reminder. I'm good.
Yeah. I love that. And I, yes, since we've mentioned it twice now, go check out The Big Leap or go listen to episode 126 where I had Gay on the show and we talked about the upper limit problem. So both incredible resources. And you're right. It doesn't ever go away. It is something that you get used to more and more, like the feelings, or like, to me, it's like a cyclical like nature, right? It's like that, like, oh, I've been here before. I've stepped into the unknown without really fully knowing what's going on, but I've done it before and I can do it again, even though it's a different beast this time. But definitely a few dances with it, at least the first initial times, is like, what the hell is this? And it's definitely a very empowering thing. I love the survival fear versus purpose-driven fear component of what you just shared. Do you have any recommendations for people on how they might be able to tell the difference between the two, whether that's like how it might feel or just so that they can listen to that and determine the nuance between those two things? Because I feel like if we can name and label, oh, this is just survival fear, this isn't purpose-driven fear, it'll actually help people move through that more quickly. So would you mind maybe sharing a little bit more parameters around that?
Yeah, I mean, this is discernment. This is the other D word I like to use. You know, in martial arts, it's discipline, and people don't like that word, but the discipline of discernment is badass. It's game changing. So because you're feeling that feeling inside of you, mind you, I wrote a book called How to Have Fun with Your Fear, in case you haven't seen that one, but that's what this is about, is like, oh no, this is a cool kind of fear. Why don't we rename it a little bit, right? And sometimes it's that voice in your head. So you do have to have a conversation with her sometimes. That voice, that thing wants to protect you. That's that survival thing coming up in your body. But this is purpose-driven. This is aligned with your big vision. This is moving you out of your comfort zone into that discomfort zone place. You feel it in your body, like, you know, a little clench or a tightness or a, ooh, no. But here's the discernment trick. The hell no in your body. And this is a real no, like, this is not aligned, not for me. You're getting messages about that all day long. It's tight, it's cold, it's constricted, its posture is shrunken, it is not smiling. It is, you're gonna feel it inside of you. It's gonna be a message that your body can feel. The hell yes? The, oh man, this is exciting. This is a yes for me. That is the opposite. It is light and strong and posture is open and ready, and that's got a smile on its face. And it feels, however that feels inside of you. So sometimes I have people draw a line down a notebook page, put the hell yes and the hell no at the top and make two columns, and go ahead and describe those things for yourself in your own body. Make your own cheat sheet, you guys. And then you'll be able to get back to it when something is a little scary, but you know you want to do it, you want to make the leap, you want to take that risk, and you're feeling this with a bit of excitement in you, but it's got a little feeling, right? Look down and see how you're feeling on your own cheat sheet and see where to move. Here's the clincher of this. It's when you're faced with something and it's a, I don't know, it's a confusion. It's right in the middle of the notebook page. Confusion. I don't know if this is a yes or a no. Here's the shortcut. It's not a yes. So it's automatically a no. So I have met so many people in confusion state, in the in-between. I can't tell if this is this or that. No, it's a no then. Already, you're answering your own question.
Yeah.
Because the yes is excited. It's breathing. It's going. It's, you know, it's, there is a quality to that in your body. Your body will help you discern. Make sense? Sort of?
100%. No, I love that. Because I mean, I think it's Derek Sivers. It's like, hey, if it's a hell yes, it's a no. But to me, that what you just shared is a nuance that I guess I didn't fully sit into until you shared it. Because it's like, I found myself in that spot many times and probably spent too much time in that spot at times. But it's like, I think you just kind of created a heuristic. It's like, if you're in that spot, you already came up with your answer, right? Like, so placing like a, almost like a chutes and ladders, shortcut there. It's like, if you're feeling that feeling of in between on the line, then you've actually arrived at your answer clearer than you thought of before. So I love that. So let's talk about like a purpose-driven, a fear that you've overcome and some of the manifestations and the impact that it's created as you've continued to share your story. I would love to talk about, and I might be getting this name wrong, but Shirley, she said something to you that kind of showed a whole new level to what you were doing. So I'd love for you to maybe share what that was and why that story was so powerful.
Oh, thanks for asking about this one. So when I started this company, it was 2016. I was, you know, taking that risk, starting something different. This was alongside my physical therapy practice. So I was trying to make a transition and make a leap into a second business. And I was literally sitting at the computer, staring at Facebook, which a lot of us are doing these days. But up pops a messenger from my business page, which was a rare occurrence at the time. And it was a woman, stranger to me. And she was asking, she said, hey, I read that thing that you wrote on, it was a Mind Body Green. I had written a blog and I really loved it. I was wondering if you had any other links for me to read. I'm a mom of five and I've been struggling a little bit with some depression. So I'm reading this message from this total stranger. It's like, whoa, she's brave to reach out to a total stranger and say that. And at that point, I had written over 300 blogs. Blogging is one of my loves. And it was all about healing, self-care, all the good things. And so I answered her and said, yeah, of course, give me a second. And I went and grabbed some links and I dropped them in there in the messenger for her to read. But I then went away and wrote and dedicated a blog to her anonymously. That was about self-care. And I knew that my audience was full of other healers and moms and women who had been through depression. So I asked my audience in the blog as a call to action to step up in the comments with love and support and advice for her, for Shirley. And they did, and it was amazing. So I got to take that link and go back to the messenger and drop that in for her. And I think she connected for the first time in a long time to a feeling of not being alone. We became friends. She signed up for a class I was doing and went forward and wrote her own two blogs for the world to read. One was about the depression journey, being a mom of five. And the second blog was like a reach out to other mothers. Hey, you know, if I can do this, you can do this. Very inspiring blog. And while all of this was happening, I only found out later, I didn't know then, but she confided in me later on that she actually had been planning the suicide note she'd write to her husband and five children. Mm. And you guys, this, some people have heard me say it before and they've heard this story before. But this story doesn't get old inside of me from a goosebumps level purpose. If this is the only thing I ever do, it's enough. I am enough. I have helped somebody make that connection who needed that connection in the moment. And gosh, they just read a blog. Mm-hmm. They read something I wrote, right? Like, so... Shirley and I are friends. I got to meet her in person a couple of times. She's amazing. I love you, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley. If you're listening, maybe we'll have to force you to send this share that episode. That's, I'm just going to take a second to not respond and just feel that for a little bit because like there, I just want to say too, like if you're listening to this right now, like there are untold stories that you have that impact of just being able to save someone, right? Like you didn't mention the content of the initial blog that she came up with, but like, I don't know, like you wrote that one day and like that literally led to saving someone's life in a really profound way too. Like that, I mean, every life is important, but man, what a weight of a mom of five kids. Like there's just so much there. And so that just goes to show the power of story. And I think this would be a good opportunity to really, if you feel that and you're like, okay, maybe I should start sharing some of the stuff. Maybe I should start publishing more if I haven't, or do it at another level if you are already doing it. I would love to maybe share about like how we can get people over that hump and some maybe tips and tricks that we could kind of give to some people to help support them on this process. And one thing I knew I wanted to talk to you about, and keep in mind, if you've heard this topic before, this is a topic that I think is such a first principle, like something that you can't skip over. And that is like learning how to write for one specific person and really getting clear on who your ideal person is that you're writing for. And so I have some thoughts on this that might be interesting to share. And I'd be curious to see how it kind of matches up with you, Laura. But if somebody is saying, okay, you know, maybe I should write some stories, why don't I just write for the world? Why don't I just write for anyone? What would you say to them versus maybe kind of putting some thought behind who you specifically want to write for or create content for?
Well, you're going to make me put my business mind on, which I love to put that hat on. If you're writing for everyone, you're writing for no one.
Right.
And so you have to understand this at the very basic level of everything you create. If you don't have a Shirley in mind, who is your Shirley? If you don't have someone in mind, a face and a name. I wrote a whole poem called Purpose Has a Face. So you can't write to the world about the cause. You're not writing to any person's heart and soul, which is really what you need to be, who you need to be writing to. So purpose has a face and a name. And when you get this and the puzzle pieces click in and things are rolling from this foundation, watch out, watch the magic. Watch what happens with your connections, your business growth, you know, if you want to talk business for a minute. So I remember B School with Marie Forleo, you know, if you're talking to everyone, you're talking to no one. I took her copy cure course and I took her business school course and I started to learn those ideas. And I didn't get it totally in the beginning. And now I even laugh at myself with some of my author business owner clients where I'm trying to repeat it. And I just feel like I want to take people and shake them and go, this is the thing. This is the key. You have to get this, you know, and they don't want to talk to one person. They do not want to do it. They think it's going to be failure if they do that. But really, it's the opposite. That is what's going to happen, right? I promise you that's what's going to happen. So you got me started on this topic. I love this topic.
Yeah. So let's go down this rabbit hole a little bit, because again, if you've heard this before, if you've listening to self-improvement or business stuff, chances are this is a topic that you've heard of before. Right. But the reason why I wanted to revisit with you specifically, it's because actually, you know what? Our relationship is a perfect example of this. Like, when you and I met a few months ago, I was able, you know, you met me when I was Beyond Curious, right? I had the Beyond Curious brand, but it always wasn't that. And I told you like, hey, I'm looking at getting connected with people that are Beyond Curious, that are passionate about deep connection, and they're community builders and thought leaders. And that language is what empowered you to connect me to some other incredible humans that you guys will be hearing on the show. We got Randy Mullen coming up on Donnie Boyven, I think is how you say his last name, like two incredible people that I have you to thank for that. But it was because I had that language to describe the kind of humans that I'm looking at building relationships with that things are showing up for me in completely different ways than it was before. And so like what my experience has been, because it's like I've gone through so many different courses where they say, define your ideal reader, and you're right. And it's like, it kind of goes back to that quote that your Master Holloway shared with you. It's like, it's something you hear over and over and over again. And then one day you're like, oh, wait a second. Now I finally understand what all these different people were saying. And so I guess one thing that I want to kind of, it's a nuance to this, is what I found is that you don't have to all have it all figured out when you start, right? Like, you have to like have an idea and you have to start publishing and messaging, but like you have to do some study and some, you know, tweaking and adjusting and seeing what works and what doesn't. And what I found is that it's never, I don't think it's ever done, to be completely honest. I feel like you're constantly refining it, but maybe share a little bit about your journey of getting clearer on it and how it maybe has changed over time. Because I think there's this idea that you have to do this one exercise and you're going to nail it and it's going to be perfect right out of the box. And then you're never going to have to think about this exercise again. And I find that to be, from my perspective, completely bullshit. But I would love to hear your perspective on how it's maybe shifted over time for you.
No, I agree with you. It's a that is a lifelong business long journey. And if you think you're going to do it once, that is part of the problem. It's a ever evolving. Why? Because you are.
Right.
Because, you know, because your journey is a journey and you change and life happens and things happen and your ideal clients might even change. Right. So you have to keep up with that. So, yeah, when things clicked, I was a happy camper, and one of the best pieces of business advice I ever got was go actually talk to one of them, meaning one of your actual perfect, amazing, ideal clients. So at the time of that homework that I got, it was a woman named Stacy. She was a fellow physical therapist. She was a divorced mom. We had a lot in common. She was creating programs beyond her physical therapy business, as was I. And I'm like, I emailed her. I remember the day. I'm like, Stacy, you are such an ideal client. I love working with you. Things are amazing. And I'm wondering, could I just take you out to lunch and pick your brain? I want to ask you 40 questions, honestly. Like, I just told her I wanted to learn more about her, what made her tick, her passions, her fears, all the things. And to interview my ideal client was the best homework I ever got, because when I got to sit there with her and write notes in my notebook, and I highly recommend you do a Zoom and record it, though, you guys.
Hell so yeah. back when
I did it. Yeah, exactly. Back when I did it, it was like actual lunch with a notebook, right? And I was scribbling, but she gave me copy. She gave me the problems, the solutions she was after, the deepest desires. And that day I got to stop guessing, which was what I was doing up until that day. I think it's this. I think it's what I think it should be, right? And yeah, the secret is you are your ideal client just 5 years ago before you figured out the answer, right? That's part of it. But the problem is it's only part. It is you and it is this other person, and there's this combination, right? That is ever evolving. So you can't do it once. So I have repeatedly interviewed and talked to people, asked for more feedback, gotten more answers, gotten more language for my sales pages, literally, by talking to people, building relationships, and really networking in those circles of people that I care about, that I want to serve.
Yeah. I love how you kind of pointed out the fact that it's like, you know, you tell people to go do the interview and they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that, right? I'm just going to keep guessing and that kind of stuff. But like, man, if you really want to take this seriously, there is literally no replacement. Surveys, I would say a close second, right? Like, you're going to get some good stuff, but there's nothing that's going to replace being face to face with somebody that you want to serve and learning to discern and hear the nuances and the emotion behind what they're saying too. And like, that obviously is just interviewing skill set, but like, what's that thing that they skipped over, but you can tell from the tone of their voice that like meant something to them, but they just kind of glazed over it. And like, that's where the copy comes from. That's where the big nuances come from. So I love that. And again, I'm going to argue for my medium that I use, and I'm stepping into writing a book too, which I haven't talked to you about, Laura, but so I'll be shifting more to the writing side of things too. But like, when you interview, if you have a podcast or if you choose to start a podcast, a great way to have these conversations with your ideal people is invite them to be guests on the show. And then you can kind of spend time with them and get to know them in a whole different way. What I started to do is connect them together, right? Like then you start getting a whole different nuance when you start putting people together in roundtable formats and getting them to really share what's on their mind. Like then you see a whole new level of laboratory and nuance of being able to understand this kind of stuff. So super, super powerful. And I'm grateful that you're encouraging people to make sure that they're doing this kind of homework, because it's going to absolutely transform your life if you do it.
Yeah, agree. We can sit and talk business with people all day long. We can ask them those sort of obvious questions that we want to know the answers to. But if I hadn't asked some questions and learned about her, she had a daughter, young daughter, and I hadn't realized that she was the breadwinner of the family. And if I hadn't really gotten into understanding her life, just because I didn't, maybe I was afraid to ask personal questions or afraid to go there, I would have missed everything.
Yeah.
Everything that mattered to her, which means I wouldn't really have had the stuff I needed, because the other questions are easier. It's hard to ask the personal ones and to get to know somebody like that. And I was lucky because she was open and she trusted me. So you have to have, you know, some of that there too, or else they're not going to want to answer questions like that. But there's another side of this about things that your ideal clients are already consuming, they're already purchasing, they're already a part of. Like, have you even thought to ask, so do you actually read books? So I always crack myself up with this one, because we want to create something, but we haven't even asked the question. Like, we want to do a podcast. So do you even know if your ideal clients are listening to podcasts?
Yeah.
Do you know if they're reading paperbacks or ebooks, or maybe they're doing Audible and you never asked. So you're guessing. Yeah. So you're creating all this stuff. And believe me, you're going to be exhausted after a while if you don't really get the answers. And this, yeah, it can just be such a magical thing.
Yeah, I love that. And it reminds me of how you and I got connected, which is our mutual friend, Justin Breen. If you want to talk about somebody that is good at filtering just life and stuff like that, I don't know. The dude's got a wicked cool brain, really interesting and unique brain. I don't know what episode number he was, but you can go look up Justin Breen. But, you know, as you were talking, it's just like, I've watched Justin continue to grow his network and like that other kind of stuff from as he's introduced me to people like you. And like, I've thought a lot about people like, why aren't you on social media as much? And maybe I need to kind of validate this, but it's like the people I want to hang out with are probably not spending time on social media, right? Like, you know, and you look at how people like Justin have built businesses, it's like they just connect with people directly, and like those lead to more connections directly. And it's probably going to be a significantly higher yielding approach is just to have those one-on-one conversations than like splicing conversations and posting them over social media. I could, you know, kind of just, it's an interesting side tangent, but yeah, validate this kind of stuff. Laura, I think I know we're kind of coming up on time, but I'm really curious to do this with you. If you'd be open. I recently rewrote the description of who I believe that I'm serving with Beyond Curious. So I have a description. What, if you're open to it, I'd love for you to maybe hear it and maybe share a few, like, if you have any perspectives on how, if this was a client, if they were coming to you and you say, hey, I have this idea of who I think it is, like how you would encourage them to think about it. So I know it's kind of on the spot coaching, but are you down for me sharing this and kind of getting some of your thoughts on it? I think that might be fun.
Of course.
Okay. So hopefully this describes you listening. And if it doesn't, then I don't know why you're listening. Just kidding. But here we go. So this is who you are. You are beyond curious. Not only are you relentlessly curious about yourself, other people and the world around you, but you've gone beyond thought curiosity and stepped into action curiosity to build an intentional life around what brings you alive. This is why you're an entrepreneur. You're constantly asking yourself, what if, I wonder, why not, and pushing the boundaries of what's possible just because you're so damn curious and you can't help yourself. You view entrepreneurship as part of your spiritual practice. You find that it is the ultimate vehicle to fuel your curiosity, expand your impact, and teach you the exact lessons that you need to become a more expanded version of yourself. You also value deep connection. You love connecting deeply with yourself. You live for breakthroughs and making new discoveries about who you are. And because you've gone so deep with yourself, you crave going deep with others. You're energized when you get the opportunity to connect with another beyond curious entrepreneur who loves going deep. These kinds of conversations leave you buzzing with energy. And then I'll just read this last part is how curiosity and connection manifests in your business. Because of your curiosity, connection, and passion for life, you found yourself building a business where you're paid to share your curiosity with others. You're a community builder or thought leader, i.e. a speaker, podcaster, author, content creator, and maybe you're both. So I have a little bit more that I wrote on that. That's more of like, it's not saying who this is and whatever, but I wrote that and I pass it to a few people that I would consider my target audience. They're like, yeah, 9 or 10 out of 10. So I maybe I shouldn't have colored that, but, if I were a client and I came to you and I said, I think I'm kind of clear on who I'm targeting and this is kind of what I got. Like, is there any like approaches or thinking process that you would encourage someone to go through if they kind of brought something like that to you?
So first of all, I love it. And you know your ideal client. And what I would say is the person like myself who's resonating with that whole thing that you just said is feeling a particular way about being seen like you just helped me feel. And that there are probably next level emotion and feeling and power words about those emotions and feelings that would take the being seen and heard from your description up so many notches, they couldn't help but click. Like, oh, holy crap, that's for me. Like, he did that for me, you know? And so it's already that. And it's interesting because when I play in the sandbox with visionary aliens, that's what I call myself. But like, I had to start to label that in a way that it has the humor in it, but also like I call myself out about being a little crazy.
Yeah.
Being a little too much to handle for some people.
Yep.
This is a lonely world. So there's positive emotions, but there's also the piece of this description that you're giving about this person that will hit into the heart and soul of that person when they're still looking for their inner circle of crazy aliens to play with. Mm-hmm. And they have it like, I love finding you because you're one of them. So like, you know, so that's, I don't know. That's just what you made me think of when you read that. It's awesome.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing. And I literally, my website is ass right now, to say the least. And so I'm thinking of, you know, a redesign for the website. It was since like I rebranded, it's like, I don't have time for this. I'm going to slap this up. But I think lots of people put like lead magnets at the top of their site and the hero image and that kind of stuff. I'm considering using this as like the header text. And it's like, if you, and then you read to the bottom of that, if you rate that on a scale of 8 or higher out of 10, click this button, then I have something for you. Right. And like, I think that that's like the kind of language and messaging I want to get to. And I don't know. So it's just been kind of going back to like it clicking. Like when I saw that and I shared this with the right people and they're like, yep, you nailed it. I'm like, huh, I finally feel like I figured it out. Not that I'm done, right? But like, I'm way closer than I've ever been before. And I'm glad that it resonates with you personally, Laura, because I think it's part of why we hit it off from the beginning is because we share that commonality that I've been able to kind of codify in the relationship. So I guess one last thing I'll say on this, and then we can kind of shift and start wrapping it up. It's like, if you want somewhere to start, I think what would really help is look at the conversations that you've had that have really lit you up. You know, maybe not, that's what really helped me. It's like, I literally sat and thought, like, if I deconstructed my friendships, if I deconstructed the highest vibe conversations I've had on my podcasts, like, why did that sit with me so well? What were they saying? How do they act? What are their values? And like, asking myself those questions and kind of trying to triangulate between like those conversations is really what helped me to kind of land on this. And then just passing it back to them and saying, hey, like, did I hit it? Did I miss it? Or having one-on-one conversations, I think always helps. So anyways, that's a little glimpse into some of the stuff I've been doing, but I'm just so grateful that you are teaching other people how to get to this kind of level of stuff. Because when I write my book, The Curiosity Code, you better believe that, like, I have this description in mind and, like, this is who I'm writing for. And it's going to make so much bigger of a difference than if I'm just trying to write to a curious person, you know? So thank you.
Big time. And congrats on that. It's a big undertaking, but it's also fantastic. And you have it. You have it with curiosity. That is such a big key to life. Life. It's a key to a juicy life, you guys.
Yeah.
It's curiosity.
Okay. So let's like, this is a question I've been asking towards the end. I know we're kind of wrapping up on time here, but you let us right there. Like, what does curiosity mean to you, and how has it impacted your life? If you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about the gems of curiosity and how it's given to you.
It has meant everything in my juiciest, most awesome conversations and relationships, because when I come into, you know, relationship with somebody and I'm honoring them with my curiosity, that means I'm honoring them with my full presence. Mm-hmm. I have put my phone away. I am there energetically, physically, mentally, curious about who they are as a soul and what turns them on. And so as soon as I drop into her and ask great questions, usually that just creates this beautiful synergy. If I'm with the right kind of person, they're going to reciprocate it. And then the energy gets bigger and we are having fun at that point. Right? So curiosity to me is about that. It's about fun. That is fun. It's a fun way to live, fun way to be, fun way to think. And it's a much better way to be than some of the opposite ways you could be, like judgmental or closed off or closed hearted or not aware. Right? 100%.
No thanks. Yeah. No, 100%. I think people are like feeling the energy between you and I right now in this conversation about you and I getting excited. So yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing that. That is so amazing. And I just, a very simple question is, if somebody's listening here and they've just resonated with the way that you show up and the way that you shared your journey and are interested in continuing to follow along, where can they find out more about you and the incredible stuff that you have going on?
Oh, thank you. Bravehealer.com. You guys, I'm on the socials. Find me by Laura DeFranco or Brave Healer Productions. And thank you, Brandon, for just, man, your energy is off the charts awesome. I really appreciate you showing up like that for me, because it helps, you know, infuse me with the high vibe too. And I get to take that into the rest of my day. So thanks for what you do.
Thank you. And I'm just going to have a really quick conversation with our friend listening right now. And I just want to say, you could be listening to any other podcast, you could be listening to any other conversation, you could be doing so many other things, but something about this title, something about Laura's voice, something about something made you show up, and you're here for a reason. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm seriously so grateful for that. And there's a reason that I love podcasting so much, is because it's changed my life. If you haven't been able to tell from just the like me talking through about it in this episode, but there is absolutely, absolutely something in here that can change someone's life. And in my mind, not to put too much weight on your shoulder, but it's up to you to share this with one person, right? There is a story that Laura shared, whether it was about Taekwondo and like maybe the first time that she dumped 65,000 words on a page and shared it with her family before Christmas to get some of that out there. Or maybe it was the tattoo, Your Fear is Boring, and the difference between survival fear or purpose fear, or how to determine whether or not you're on that fence, if it's an automatically a no. Or maybe it was that stuff we talked about towards the end of getting clear about who you're serving and how you can kind of put that in there. If there is not something in here that can change someone's life, then I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong. I dare you to tell me I'm wrong. So my ask is that you just share this with one person, share this with one other curious person that you think this would impact them. And you have no idea the impact that it could make. Maybe it's something like that Shirley story where it just hit someone at that time when they're needing something and they needed Laura's story that she was able to just share. And so, you never know the impact that you're going to make. So whether you do that or not, I just so appreciate you for being here. And Laura, any final things you want to say before we head off for today?
Oh, just my gratitude. Again, thanks for what you do. And you guys listening, you know, thank you for being here listening to this show. And, you know, a share is a care. Does that sound too corny?
But it works
this
now.
This is how we do this. We do this together. So thanks for being in my world, Brandon.
100%. Appreciate you, Laura. Appreciate you listening. And we'll talk to you all soon.